Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then, Apostle Paul, because of the revelation he got, he also received persecutions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you read them. Oh, what that man went through for the gospel's sake. From his brethren, the Jews. That also is part of the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ upon him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And not only him, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, read it through these verses 12, verse 12 up to verse 19. Apostle Peter was telling the people, think it not strange concerning all the fiery trials. Don't think it is anything strange. Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, also from verses 5 to 10, Hebrews 12, 5 to 10, speaking about, you know, all that suffering, he said, all are partakers of these sufferings. All are partakers. Every one of us, we are partakers that will be a Christian, be ready. And I kept emphasizing in the earlier messages that why this is necessary is for us to have a balanced gospel. There is the gospel of peace and prosperity. And God is good. And there is a way you take it too far until when a Christian begins to suffer certain negative conditions, situations, you begin to be miserable and think that you are out of favor with God. You begin to think that God has forsaken you. No. That's what we're trying to balance. All that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, because every one of us, we are supposed to pick the cross and walk with Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, you read it from verse 1 to 4, Apostle Paul, the writer of the book of Hebrews, was, you know, showing us, after he has shown us those heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, those that were killed, those that were sawn as apart, hand upside down, all written there, all for the faith's sake, that is their cross. And then he said, you, looking at me even now, say, you have not yet resisted the enemy, you know, unto blood. And you are crying just only because one small thing is happening around you. Go and to Hebrews chapter 11, read it from verse 36 up to verse 40 and see what happened. And that was where we ended 2 Sundays ago. And then I showed a clip of what happened on the screen. And even me myself, because earlier that day, before I came to the altar, I had also watched a clip of what these ISIS people in Iraq, what they were doing to Christians. When I watched what they were doing, not animation, not dramatization, real video posted by them to see what they are doing to Christians. Killing them in very barbaric way. Life. Then I came to the altar. By the time I reached this stage of the sermon, those of you who are here, I couldn't continue. I broke down at the altar. I know many of you were also crying that day to see what is their offense, just because they are Christians. That is the only offense. Amen. I sang that song in hymn number 44. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song, in the night season and all the day. That song in hymn number 44. It says, in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters could flow past the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, oh yes, in a life season and all that hell. The first one to die for this Holy Ghost plan, that is hymn number 95 in our hymn book, was John the Baptist. But he died like a man. Then came the Lord Jesus. They crucified him. He thought that the Spirit will save men from sin. Oh, he's dripping with blood. Yes, he's dripping with blood. As Holy Ghost does, he's dripping with blood. The blood of the disciples who died for the truth. Holy Ghost blood is dripping with blood. Hallelujah. And so Apostle Paul, he said in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 36, he said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourges, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. He said, they were stoned, they were sown asunder. We are tempted, we are slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts, in the mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hey. See? And don't you ever think you can ever get to heaven by bypassing the cross. You can never go to heaven by bypassing the cross. Like, every one of us that we go, you must pass through the cross. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh yes. And I love that old cross. We are the purest and best for the world of love. Sin and was saved.
So I cherish.
Oh, so I cherish the old rugged cross.
You got to love
me. Hear the call. Is the last I lay down.
I would plead
You know, this is a strange gospel in Christianity these days. It's a very strange gospel. This type of gospel doesn't shock the head. But if I stand here tomorrow, you all are going to be millionaires. Yay! They will come and sow. People will come and sow. And this one now is strange. Your pastors don't talk about it. It's strange. But let me tell you, whether they talk about it or not, if your name is in the book of life, you will never get to heaven by passing the cross. Jesus himself said it. He told the disciples, if you will follow me, your identification will be what? Carry the cross. They misunderstand it and they are hanging cross on their neck. They are putting it by the bedside. They are hanging it on the mirror of their car. That is, it is a symbol of our faith. Yes. But the symbol goes beyond some piece of furniture. It is a life that you live. By that, you are identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's hard. Every one of us, including me, the preacher here, all of us that will go in the rapture, you cannot talk of reward. What are you going to be rewarded for? Every reward is earned. It's earned. We will receive crown. Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. It's a fight of faith. You think that fight of faith was just stand up and be memorizing Psalms and bear titles, Reverend, Reverend Doctor, and go on evangelism and win souls for Christ. Mighty miracle signs and wonders. Everywhere they know your name. That's all, Abi. A great man. Anywhere you go, you are the ones that eat with the president. You are the recognized religious leaders. Then when you get to heaven, they will give you your crown. Like all those that will wear crown, the world will reject them. The world will never invite you to the president's house for dinner. They are rejected people. And despite the rejection, you still stand with him. That is what earns you the crown. All trials, all temptations will come everywhere. But you stand for the faith. Whether there is food to eat or not, whether there is husband or not, I'll be a good soldier. I will die at my post. Hallelujah. Okay, that was where I ended last week. Now, why does God allow those trials? That's what I want to talk about. Because all these things that were going on, you saw in that film how they were. And you saw where that woman was running with her little child. They released a lion on her. And the lion collected the little baby and teared the baby into pieces. And all that you read in the, you know, for the history of what the martyrs went through. They burnt some in stakes, fed them to lions. They would get the lion very hungry, then release them on those people. They tie some to stakes and put them on fire. They hang some upside down. They hang them also on crosses. Because remember, the death on the cross was the most shameful type of death. And all, don't think that that was reserved for only Jesus. It was a criminal and very shameful type of death. You see? But while all this was going on, God was looking at them. And yet he said, I will be with you until the end. Amen. Number one, why he allowed trials to come our way? Number one is to purify us. This is the way Apostle Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the way Apostle Peter put it. Amen. Verse 5, 6, 7. Talking about the incorruptible inheritance reserved for us in heaven, who are kept by the power of God, verse 5, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, because it is not forever, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7 is my emphasis. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, Apostle Peter is looking at what we go through is likening us, because we are supposed to be precious stones. And gold is a very expensive, precious stone. But remember that when gold is dug from the earth, a lot of earth is attached to it. The beauty of that gold is covered by the earth from where it was plucked from. And the owner of the mine that went mining to get that gold, what does he use to put away all the earthly things that got attached to it? It passes through fire. Amen. And so God too, to purify us, because he brings us out of the world. And a lot of worldly attachments are with us. So he too allows us to go through the process of purification. And he said our own is even more precious than that of gold. So he allows us to go through fire. That is, you then understand, all things work together for good to them that love God. So always know that if God allows you to go through any seemingly difficult situation or condition, it is to achieve a purpose of purification. Hallelujah. You know, I think this is the rose flower also. When you plug a rose flower, the attraction of the rose flower is not just in the beauty you see, it is in the aroma, the perfume there. But if you take that rose and try to smell it, you will not smell anything. But if you want to know how sweet that perfume is, what do? You squeeze it. When you squeeze it, then the scent will come out. So it is with a Christian life. The virtues in a Christian come out when you are squeezed. That is when you know whether you are a Christian or not. That is how God has designed it. Number two, why God allows trials to come our way is to build our faith. And this is how he achieves faith. Remember, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. I have used this several times to explain this several times to us in this ministry. That Christians, that miracles, signs, and wonders are not for believers. God does not deal with us by miracles. No. The miracle is to attract the unbeliever to come to Christ. After you have come in there, he still begins to deal with you in your early stages of your faith. So that you will know that he is real and he cares, he loves you. After that, you are justified. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if you are going to live with God by faith, then He will have to train you to have faith. Romans chapter 5. This is how Apostle Paul put it. Romans chapter 5. Amen. 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 Verse 3. And not only so, Romans 5 verse 3, but we glory in tribulations also. You don't glory only when you get a wife. You hit one big contract. Because you're going to get money that will solve all your problems or some immediate problems. He said, we glory in tribulations also. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That is, tribulation will produce patience. And patience will produce experience. And experience will give you hope. I don't know if somebody understands it. Before you can say, I am sure God will heal me of this sickness, there must be a reason why you say so. One, you have already had an experience of that situation that you have gone through before. A tougher situation you have gone through before. It gives you hope because you have experience. And if you are going to walk with God, you need patience. Patience. Because God, amen, may not tell you when He's going to answer you, when He's going to deliver you. So, everyone that will walk with God must imbibe that virtue of patience. So, during that period of patience, you gain experience. And because you have enough experience, you are no longer faithless. You have faith. No situation shakes you anymore. You know that God will step in. You were in a worse situation before and He stepped in. When you thought all was gone, He steps in. That is what every one of us will go through. It's a training process to make us have faith and walk with Him by faith. Every one of us. So your waiting period may be the period God is using to train you. That is why some of you, in your dream, you are crying to God. I don't know why this is my situation. No one changed. In your dream, you will see yourself in a classroom. That's all God will answer you. You see yourself in some training place somewhere. You wake up and say, hi, God forbid. What did I do? Primary school. I did the primary school. Which got this one made this one? No, then you start to pray. No prayer will change it. It's a training period. Me telling you this, I've experienced all this. As I was speaking confidently. I'm not reading it from a book and teaching you. I am reading you, teaching you from the book of experience. I've gone through it. Amen. I've gone through it. Praise the Lord. Through experience. When you are up to 10 years old, you don't have a child. And I can tell you, I said, don't worry. God will give you a child. I'm not speaking faith to you. I'm speaking reality because I waited 20 years. That's what I'm telling you. As a Christian, as a believer, out of these 20 years, it's only the first 2 years I was unbeliever. The remaining 18 years, I was already a believer. And any time I pray, He will tell me, I have answered you. Anywhere I go, prophecy will come out. I have given you a son. And then I go, wait, throughout that year, the thing will pass again. I said, Bina, whether or not familiar spirit they speak to me, I don't understand this. Praise the Lord. And it will be painful because as the only son my mother had. So she was anxious to see my child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is me. If you have, you need fruit of the womb, I'll pray for you. Cha cha cha, you will get it. Let me my own situation. Refuse to change. I married 1986 till 2006. So that you'll understand what I'm speaking. So if you come to me and I am telling you about this God, I am telling you from experience. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so many more. So many. Too many. Everything I am telling you, I have passed through it. Including sicknesses. I have been sick, even almost dying. And I didn't go to the hospital. From 1989, I gave my life to Christ. Till now, to the glory of God, I have had no need to go to the hospital. I didn't say I was not sick. Oh. When I call upon him, he answered. But there were some instances where I call upon him, I was almost dying. Almost dying. At the last minute, he stepped in. Now, that gives me hope that any other sickness coming, including Ebola, you can't kill me. I'm not speaking empty. I am saying from experience that gives hope. So your own may be God also positioning you so that you can also have hope. And depending on what God is preparing you for, your training is determined by God's purpose in your life. Hallelujah. Before Abraham can be a father of faith, that people will be making reference to. People will be making reference. Before God will give you testimony, that people will be making reference to your own testimony to be a reason for them to worship God. You will know what you will go through. Amen. Praise the Lord. At 100 years old, when everything was dead, so they, even his wife, don't give up hope. Advise her, Kuku, enter this my house, girl, get picking for yourself. If not. So we don't cock every time you go say God, they say God, they say all of us see, we see day like that too. Now menopause, I don't pass menopause since. He said, I am dead, totally dead. There's nothing, no ovulation, nothing anymore. There is nothing anymore. And God is looking at her. Is there anything too hard for God to do? And God used it to confirm it. 90-year-old woman Gebele. And it was not by operation, no drug, nothing. Amen. That was the reason why it was easy for Abraham to carry Isaac and go and sacrifice. He had hope. I know this woman with this speaking, the way he come, that God is able to replace him again. He had hope. That is why he sacrificed Isaac with ease. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ask your neighbor, where is your cross? Show me your cross. Show me your cross now. James chapter 1. Verse 2. James chapter 1. Verse 2. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, my brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is to produce what? Patience. Patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 12. James 1 verse 12. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Number three, why God allows trials. I've mentioned some of them already, to fulfill His purpose in your life. We are created for a purpose. We are created to fulfill His purpose. According to the Bible, we are created. All things are created and for your pleasure, for His pleasure, they were created. It's a sovereign God and you cannot question Him. Apostle Paul said, we are only clay, He is the potter. And no clay, the vessel that is formed from a clay, say, why did you form me like this? Why are you making me undergo through this situation? He said, who art thou to reply your maker like that? Hallelujah. He said He can scatter that and mold it and remold it again to whatever He wants. So it is better that you just submit yourself to Him. Lord, your will be done, O God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He can just decide like Job. Job did not commit any offense, so Job was worshipping God faithfully. And Satan came and was discussing with God. And God just brought this wahala on Job. He said, where are you coming from? Lucifer, Satani. I'm coming from to and fro. Because he has no fixed address. And God knew what he meant by saying, you are coming from to and fro. That he's been going there disturbing everybody, disturbing everything. You've been disturbing everyone. Say, have you considered my servant Job that there is none like him? You have been going around. And then Satan said, before uncle, when you cover him with all your protection, you bless him with everything. See rich, and then you cover those riches with your protection. Come out now. If I strike him now, see whether he will still follow you like that. But God now wanted to show Satan that there are people on earth like Job that are not serving him because of what they are getting from him. God can use you to make a point, to, you know, make a statement. That was all he did with Job. And Job did not disappoint him. But Job was a human being. If you read other chapters, there are times that the man will sit there again and say, come on, what's happening? But the moment of trials, he made God proud. When those people, his friends, will come and give him those advice, he turned and looked at them and called them miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. His wife, Uncle, could go curse God now and die. One day, everything he had disappeared. Israel died. All his wealth disappeared. Only me remained to come tell you what happened. That's what the servant was saying. And while you are waiting to see what will happen to him, praise God, he fell on the floor. Instead of him to say, how can this happen to me? I have served God faithfully. I have done this. Instead of him to do that, he fell down and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many people can react like that? Some of you will say, even that's why I don't serve this God again. You make my enemy to laugh at me. That is how many of us will think. We will stop coming to church. You say you are ashamed. And what will people say? What will people say? Everybody know me to be a Christian. I say my God is a good God. Oh, you see everything. One day, I dey for church. Now you dey go house. Somebody, you dey for church. You go house, finish. You are here praying. Your house catch fire. All your property burn. Yeah. Then somebody will tell you, say, which kind of church you go serve? Not be rich church be that. Cannot be a rich church. Cannot be a real church. How can you leave the church? You leave now, you cross main road, motor hit you, you die. Now church you go, so which kind of God be that? How this my leg will break, so now church I close, so I dey go now, can I climb and be break into three places? Upon all the prayer I prayed that night. You sure say God did that church? He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So God can use you to prove his point. Make the whole world know by a statement you make by you. Finally, why God allows trial? Number four. Amen. You know, as I speak about fulfilling God's purpose, I remember there is this Wale Adenuga program. What do they call it? Super story. When he finishes it, he ends by saying, "We are only pencil in the hand of God." You know that statement is very rich. We are only pencil. So God can carry you to write something. Amen. And the truth is, you can't resist him. Amen. Number four. So that they which are approved may be made manifest. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul was the one that made that statement. And just ponder on it a little. There was a problem in that church. And people were wondering why God would allow such problem. Fighting, currently, all manner of things going on in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 and verse 19. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Then verse 19 is my emphasis. He said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So, God, and the same way he did in the wilderness, a journey that was to last just 40 days, it took 40 years. The Bible says he did it to prove them, to try them, so that those who are approved may be made manifest. And those who shouldn't, they will fall by the wayside. There are many that fall by the wayside because of trials, because of hunger. In the wilderness, many that didn't enter the promised land was from hunger and thirst. Yes. There's some from jealousy and idle talk, blasphemy, stubbornness, murmuring. Others murmuring. God swear you will not enter the rest. Remember, they are mixed multitudes. So God too can cause certain problem around you to cause division. So that there can be a separation. He did it. He called Abraham. The Bible says when God called Abraham, he called Abraham alone. But Abraham dragged his cousin Lot to follow him. And God's purpose cannot be fulfilled if Lot is with Abraham. And so I believe that it was God that caused that fight. So that the two of them now had to hold meeting. Look, in the interest of peace, you take any direction, go, I'll take the other direction. And when that separation took place, if you read it, God then came down. Abraham, now that you have separated from Lot, and began to tell him what will become of him, the blessing that is coming his way.